Go to TMA Electric in Port Huron for all your electrical needs. From service upgrades to LED lighting to a full system check and oil change for your generator, along with preventative maintenance. Call 810-266-1450 or stop by. They're at 2514 Chestnut in Port Huron.
And good morning, 1380 WPHM. It's Caleb filling in for Paul. Hope you had a great Christmas, and as we approach the new year, hope you have a happy one of those as well. We've been taking the past few days here on WPHM to kind of look back at 2020 in review. And in this segment, we're going to look back at the year in agriculture that 2020 was, specifically here in Michigan. We're going to welcome back on the show now Nicole Heslop, who is an anchor and reporter with Brownfield Ag News. You hear her reports every morning here on WPHM. We're going to go a little more in depth now. Nicole, good morning.
Good morning, Caleb, and thanks for having me back.
2020 was a very interesting year, of course, in the news. The biggest story was COVID-19. That seemed to affect pretty much every part of the economy. Every part of our daily lives was affected by this virus. How did that affect farmers, Nicole?
You had it hit it on the head, Caleb. What did not get affected by COVID? That's for sure. We talked back. I looked last time we got together was in June, so we kind of saw some of the closure early ripple effects. If you remember, in March, toilet paper, hot commodity, along with beef and people pantry stocking their shelves. So we kind of saw that play through. A lot of economy reports following up from that March-April timeframe looked at what shoppers did and how that went through the supply chain. And there were disruptions. There was milk that had to be dumped. Pigs and cattle weren't able to be processed during that timeframe because of shutdowns. And people might have been afraid, you know, how am I going to get through this week and fill the fridge? And because of that, bought more things that were shelf-stable. So talking with people like dry bean growers or wheat growers, they saw and continue to see consumers wanting to have those staples in their shelves, having that can of dried beans or, you know, baked beans, whatever bean version it can just stock up with, along with pastas and breads, flours to make at home or home cooking. And dried fruits and some of those dried products saw that too. So like our cherries that we grow here or blueberries that could be stored for processing, also seeing increased home consumer consumption. And on the flip side, some of our larger commodities, while those markets might have tanked early on because of those supply chain disruptions, they've actually been doing okay because of other issues that have happened through this year's growing season, a decent crop for the most part, but having increased exports has helped. So from the large commodities perspective, it's not as bad as it could have been, and that I definitely heard through the dairy sector with having the food box program purchases that helps the dairy market in throughout the year, and the market kind of followed those ups and downs of those purchases. MSU did a study kind of midway through this looking at some of the major different commodities here in Michigan and the cost to producers. And they said that whole supply chain disruptions, maybe lost products, maybe new cost of safety measures or some of the employee cost or processing cost was about 20% for some of the main five commodities they followed. And that didn't necessarily mean they lost 20% of their income at the moment. It just meant compared to last year, 20% of what they could have been doing had disappeared or had to be restructured. So as we end this year, some groups are doing okay. Some groups are looking for a brighter 2021. And others, you know, we're still waiting to see. We're locked at home, not going out to eat. Food service demand is definitely kind of tanked for some different products that you would buy. And it could be another 6 months. So a lot of unknowns when you have so many different commodities here in Michigan. And for me, I grew a garden this year, and on the consumer side, I think Victory Gardens, as some called them, was something we saw more and more of. So if you went to the gardener or supply store or got your seeds, people are interested in growing things themselves or finding it at their farmer's market. And those direct-to-consumer buying products like pumpkins, like farmer's markets, and Christmas trees have seen record turnout, whether
Wow.
that's people wanting to get out of the house and be outside, or if that's wanting to support those local communities, because it is a tough time. So if you can support something, support local. So I am curious to see how that turns over and the growing season for at-home consumers next year, or, you know, we don't know what's going to happen until we have mass vaccination. So when do those consumers feel comfortable of going out to the restaurant at, you know, the numbers that we would see pre-COVID? It's still a lot of unknowns, so it'll be interesting to follow.
Yeah, and of course, right now you can't eat inside at the restaurant if you even wanted to at this point, but we do expect that to pass at some point. But you're right; at the end of the day, it's going to be up to the individual. It's going to be up to the individual consumer to decide what they feel comfortable with doing and what they don't. Nicole Heslop is an anchor and reporter with Brownfield. You mentioned this food box program, Nicole, and you said that was very effective for farmers this past year to help overcome some of those issues due to COVID. I'm wondering, is that going to continue into 2021 as well?
The best commodity, from what I've been reporting on, to follow in that food box program is how it impacted our dairy producers. And every time USDA went to the dairy industry to buy more cheese or fluid milk or butter, helped increase prices. And kind of some of the pricing's a little skewed on the farmer end, but at the end of the day, that food, along with other fruits, vegetables, meats, went to help those that have been out of work or have a new food crisis in their life for this COVID period. And Congress is just putting together another COVID relief package, which we will see the beginning of 2021 help us out from the producer side and from those that need assistance. The details of that coming out through the holidays as Congress is getting it passed, hopefully a final bow on the details before Christmas. And we will definitely be following the impacts of that in the year ahead. Further on, as a new administration comes in under the Biden administration, there have been a lot of economists and ag groups concerned that because the food box program and the coronavirus relief programs under the Trump administration were tied to goals of that administration, it would look different. And they are definitely warning producers and growers across the country not to count on government aid in 2021 and under the new administration. Like I said earlier, we don't really know what's going to happen with COVID or the vaccine that's rolling out and how that will impact, or if, you know, things do return back to normal, we don't know. So if it is an issue, definitely contact your lawmakers, because at the end of the day, they're the ones putting together the legislation.
And that's a segue into our next topic. The Who, in their song Won't Get Fooled Again, mentioned meet the new boss, same as the old boss. And that's pretty true when it comes to the U.S. Department of Agriculture in 2021. Sonny Perdue is out and Tom Vilsack is back in again.
That is what we hear, and a confirmation hearing pending at this point in time. But we do expect to see Secretary Vilsack get reconfirmed. And from the ag side, he's been here before. He served as ag secretary for 8 years under the Obama administration. He's a past governor of Iowa. And during the campaign process for Biden, you saw Secretary Vilsack writing op-eds on the campaign trail, promoting having farmers in the ag community get behind the Biden administration. So from the ag group side, I think a lot of the national commodity groups are glad to see somebody that's familiar with agriculture. They've been on a farm. They know how food is produced and maybe some of the needs from consumers with the nutrition programs. And from that side, we've seen some pretty positive feedback on Vilsack. He is currently serving as the CEO and head of the U.S. Dairy Export Council. And I had a chance to interview him several times in that role and spoke with their counterparts at the National Milk Producers Federation. And they actually reached out to Vilsack after he was done after the Obama administration and said, you know, you are the guy for international market advancement. You have great relationships in other countries, and we want to take that work to the dairy sector. So for the last 4 years, he's been working to help advance U.S. dairy exports, which are expected to reach record levels in 2020 through things we've seen with the China Phase 1 trade deal and increased advancement in Southeast Asia. So I think from the international trade perspective, we'll see agriculture pretty, you know, stable, and some of the relationships we've seen. He's a good advocate on the trade front with that experience. And during the Biden administration's or the Biden's campaign process, and some of the speaking that Vilsack has done early on has been on the importance of climate change and how farmers are set to benefit having carbon markets, carbon sequestration, and creating a new economy with a carbon market and another source of income. So the biofuels industry is really excited about it because they expect to see ethanol and renewable energy have some benefits, maybe some crop farmers. There is concern about what that means for regulations, definitely an unknown, but early rollout of cabinet members, the Biden administration has put together what they call a climate team, and while agriculture's not in that core group, we do see former Governor Jennifer Granholm as this Energy Department Secretary, and she definitely is known for her advocacy of renewable energy and clean energy. So climate change, climate issues, top of mind, and I expect, and so do a lot of other ag groups, to see that roll into farming and agriculture in many levels.
Earlier in the interview, you mentioned just this roller coaster that the dairy industry and dairy producers here in Michigan have been on in 2020. And one of those low moments really seemed to be just recently here, when the bankrupt Dean's Foods company is now asking farmers to pay them back now that they've gone into bankruptcy and are in the process of restructuring. What is up with this, Nicole? And it just seems to be just another blow to the industry that was already plagued this year with the milk dumping earlier in the season, like you mentioned, and some low commodity prices as well.
I think on the farmer side, the term deemed foods is going to end with maybe some sour taste in their mouth after all the things that we've seen happen over this past year. Starting with, you know, Walmart built a milk bottling plant in Indiana, and Dean's cut a lot of producers that they had been serving the Walmart market for, because after Walmart built that plant, they cut their ties with Dean Foods, and it's just kind of been a snowball effect since then. So farmers lost their outlet for providing milk through Dean's at that time, some went out of business at that time, and Dean's eventually declared bankruptcy at the beginning of 2020. And because of that and some of the things that followed, at the same time that the COVID disruptions were happening, there was a lot of unknown for those farmers that were supplying to Dean Foods of where their milk would go, and perhaps that's what got caught up in getting dumped. As they did declare bankruptcy, any company, whether it's in agriculture or not, has the ability to reclaim some of the checks that they made the last 90 days in business to help with that bankruptcy processing, or with that process, and that is what Dean's did. Unfortunately, the lawyers that wrote the letter to farmers did so in quite a threatening way that caused a lot of national attention. So we know at this point about 500 farmers or milk haulers got these letters. Pennsylvania actually reporting at least 100 of those. So we saw the Pennsylvania Milk Marketing Board stepped up. So did American Farm Bureau Federation and other ag groups that stepped up and said, farmers, this is an issue. We know about it. Thank you for contacting us. Our lawyers are talking to their lawyers. And the state of Michigan had the same issue. Ed McBroom is a lawmaker in the UP, a dairy farmer himself, and our attorney general also getting on board, writing a letter on behalf of dairy farmers in the state. And most of those were in the UP, and I would think just a handful. So the people this did affect, they know about it. Their lawyers probably know about it. And Dairy Farmers of America has acquired most of the assets in this bankruptcy process, and they have field staff on the ground helping those farmers. I think it's more of an internal issue that got a lot of attention just because Dean's has had a lot of issues, and this is another one that is not having a good end, definitely, as they close business.
Well, we'll be following, of course, if anything comes out of that. I know Senator McBroom is working hard on that, and so is A.G. Nestle, so we'll continue to follow that. It just seems unfortunate, kind of a 1-2 punch against dairy farmers this season, so hopefully that does get resolved. And finally, Nicole, do you have any predictions or things you're looking forward to in 2021?
For looking ahead to 2021, obviously the weather is a big concern every year. It's been dry here in Michigan. I'd still not seen a lot of snowfall here in the southwest Michigan, which is where I'm located, and it kind of odd for the snowball belt right next to Lake Michigan. So what does that mean for the growing year ahead? Hopefully we don't have a dryness issue or late freeze events, right? So if we don't have the accumulation now, perhaps later in the winter, if it goes into February, March, is that going to affect our seasonal issues for specialty crops? Who knows until we hit those freeze weather events. And is still in this uncertainty of COVID-19. So we hear good news. We have some optimism out there. But winter is still coming. It's still here. And this could be ongoing for quite a few more months.
Well, we'll be looking at the weather. I know farmers are always looking to the weather. I hope it's going to be a good planting season. I know a couple of years back, it was a very, very wet spring in Michigan. That wasn't the case this past year. And fingers crossed that that it's not the case again in 2021. Nicole Heslop, an anchor and reporter. You hear her every morning here on WPHM. She gives you the Brownfield updates here for farmers in Michigan. And of course, if you like food and you like to eat, you better thank a farmer. They've been working hard this year to get that to the table for you.
Like you said, if you like to eat, thank a farmer. And through all of this, through all the markets, through all the supply chain disruptions, farmers went to work, right? We're essential employees and essential workers that have been keeping us food, keeping us fed throughout this whole process, and will continue to do so. So we are very appreciative of our farmers and the ag industry. If anyone is interested in hearing more about some of this work on a Michigan or national level, Brownfield does have an email newsletter. We also have some social, Facebook and Twitter, and regular YouTube videos that you can watch on some of the issues in the ag economy. So we appreciate you and would turn you to those if you want more.
Thank you very much, Nicole, and we'll be listening in 2021, and thanks so much, Nicole.
Thanks so much.
And this is Caleb filling in for Paul on 1380 WPHM.